Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, let's get it going here on a Thursday afternoon. Julian Council in once again right here on ESPN Upstate, taking you all the way up to 3 o'clock. And we're going to have another Diddy Takeover, right?
That's right.
All right, awesome. That's Diesel, who's helping me out running the boards on the ones and twos today up until 3 o'clock. Going to talk a ton about Clemson and South Carolina. I found out late in the show yesterday that that's what you guys want to hear about. So I will talk about that. I have an interesting take here in a few minutes about Trevor Lawrence and the season that he had his sophomore year that ended a national championship loss on Monday night and probably his worst performance as a collegiate athlete. Also, Odell Beckham Jr. acting like a complete idiot after LSU won a national championship. Want to get into that. Eric McElhane, former Clemson offensive lineman, now with the ACC Network as a college football analyst, going to join me at 12:38. Also, have Field Yates in the final hour at 2:20 to talk some NFL playoffs and more news coming out of Carolina. Joe Brady officially announced as the offensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers. And there's a report from Ian Rappaport on the future of Cam Newton. And we got to talk some South Carolina Gamecocks football and what the realistic expectations for South Carolina heading into 2020 and beyond should be, whether it's under Will Muschamp or not under Will Muschamp. Once again, Julian Council here with you on ESPN Upstate. And if you want to chime in, call in at 844-477-3776 or text me at 71307. Make sure to use keyword ESPN, or you can hit me up on Twitter at Julian Council. That's at Julian Council on Twitter, C-O-U-N-C-I-L, to spell my last name, just like City Council. And I don't know if I'm off base here, but I kind of feel like 2019 was a tad bit of a disappointing season for Trevor Lawrence, the Clemson quarterback. If you think about it, a lot of people came in with the expectation that he was going to win the Heisman Trophy. At least him and Tua were the two guys that we had the conversation about all offseason and all summer long, Alabama and Clemson in general, about we're going to see part five or part six, whatever. I've already lost track of how many times those teams have seen each other in the college football playoff, whether it was in the national championship game or in the semifinal. That's all the conversation. It was about Trevor and Tua. It was about Clemson and Alabama. As we know, Alabama ended up not making the college football playoff, and Tua Tagovailoa ended up hurting and breaking his hip there in the Mississippi State game on the road, ending his college career as he heads to the National Football League. Well, Trevor Lawrence and Clemson ran through the ACC, ran through the semifinal, well, then run through the semifinal, were able to get past Ohio State, then lost by 17 points Monday night in New Orleans to LSU. And just taking inventory of everything that we saw from Trevor Lawrence this year, when Dabo Swinney would bring up some of the Clemson disrespect, which was absolutely evident from ESPN, FS1, obviously Paul Feinbaum being the main culprit, and plenty of college football writers and analysts throughout the country, part of the disrespect I feel like Dabo saw was the ones that his players got. Travis Etienne, one of the best running backs in the country, was, for whatever reason, not a Doak Walker finalist for the top running back in the nation. T. Higgins, Justin Ross, neither one of those guys were considered as finalists for the Blitnikoff Award that went to Ja'Marr Chase of LSU for the top wide receiver in the country. And then Trevor Lawrence, a guy who everyone thought was a shoe-in to at least be there for the Heisman Trophy presentation in New York, was not a finalist and wasn't one of the leading vote-getters. And a lot of that actually made sense. Because actually it wasn't disrespect. It was actually somewhat of a disappointing season for Trevor Lawrence. You just start back on the opening Thursday night of the season against Georgia Tech. Two interceptions. What makes Trevor Lawrence was the fact that he was able to run down the Georgia Tech defender and prevent a touchdown as Clemson would have a goal line stand as Georgia Tech was unable to get the ball in at the two-yard line. Four different opportunities there. That shows you how great of a leader and how great of a guy he is. But still, he had the two interceptions in that game. He struggled at North Carolina with the pressure that Jay Bateman, the defensive coordinator at UNC, brought on him. And then on Monday night, he had what was certainly his worst performance, where he was not accurate. He was not the same guy that you saw against Ohio State. He was not the same guy that you saw in the second half of the season, falling to North Carolina near loss in Chapel Hill, where he really turned it on to be the guy that we saw him last year. But this season, just looking at his overall numbers, while still the same amount of games played, it just wasn't the same from Trevor Lawrence as we saw last season. Still played 15 games, but you think back to last year, it was really, what, the first four games playing with Kelly Bryant. Then he gets knocked out in the first half against Syracuse. So it was really just a 10-game sample size where he threw for 3,200 yards and 30 touchdowns and four interceptions. And in this season, in 15 full games, same completion percentage as a year ago, 65%. Passed for about 400 more yards, had 36 touchdowns, that's six more than last season, and then eight interceptions. A lot of the questions people would ask Dabo coming into or during his offseason and in the summer was, how much better could Trevor Lawrence get? And, you know, certainly you would understand more about reads and coverages and just becoming more of a leader in the locker room. But I thought we saw somewhat of a regression from Trevor Lawrence this season. And that's just based off of expectations. Was he still great? Yes. Was he phenomenal throughout the year? Absolutely. But the expectations going into the year was for this guy to be a Heisman Trophy finalist, to lead Clemson to another national championship. And he fell short of both those goals. Now, the team goals, the ultimate goal in winning the ACC and going to the College Football Playoff and getting to win a national championship, they hit two or three of those goals. That's what's most important. I just look at Trevor Lawrence's season, and I feel like he left a lot to be desired in the end when it comes to the high expectations that we all had for him and what he had for himself. And he talked about Monday night falling to loss to LSU, that it just wasn't his night in the national title game.
First of all, LSU did a really good job. They brought a lot of pressure. They did a good job mixing up the coverages. But just at the end of the day, I just didn't play well enough for us to win, you know. Too many missed plays by me, missed a lot of receivers, and, you know, just wasn't my night. A couple times they had us schemed up pretty good, and they stopped us on third down. And then a handful, at least four, were missed throws or, you know, just them making a good play on the ball. So it's just at the quarterback position, if you're going to win games like this, you got to play really well, and just didn't do that tonight.
And he had to be perfect on Monday against LSU, especially against Joe Burrow, who went on to win the Heisman Trophy, something that we did not expect to happen starting the season here in 2019. Now we're sitting in 2020. No one thought that Joe Burrow was going to play the way he did. Of course, Joe Brady, who's now with the Carolina Panthers, him coming and implementing the offense that Sean Payton had down in New Orleans was certainly something that helped LSU's offensive renaissance. Clemson was still great this year. Trevor Lawrence was still great, but his accuracy in the most important game, and that was the more confusing part about it. We had never really seen him throughout his career, throughout the 29 games that he had won, and throughout the 25 he had won as a starter, we had never seen Trevor Lawrence struggle the way that he did on Monday night. And it was a tad bit concerning in a way because he seemed to be rattled, and the pressure that LSU sent him throughout the night certainly got him off. You saw early in the game with Clemson, they were able to pressure Joe Burrow. Eventually he adjusted, was able to torch that secondary in the second half and really starting in the second quarter. But Trevor wasn't able to make those adjustments. And Clemson's offensive line was an offensive line that had four seniors and also another great player in Jackson Carmen. And certainly they had their issues, and that led to Trevor Lawrence struggling. And he talked even more about his accuracy or lack thereof on Monday night and after the loss.
Obviously, a physical game, any big game like this, when you're playing a really good team, it's going to be physical. But, you know, just little things I know I can do. You know, just got to be more accurate. You know, wasn't accurate tonight. Didn't put the ball where it needed to be. Didn't give my guys a chance enough. And then, you know, I mean, it comes down to that, really. It's just giving them a chance, and I just didn't do a good job of doing that.
Looking at Trevor Lawrence's Instagram yesterday, he sent out a message to all of Tiger Nation and also to his teammates saying, "It's hard to find the words to sum up this year, but I'll keep it short. I'm thankful for everyone and everything that has happened this season. It's been challenging, unique, and a whole lot of fun. I'm so appreciative to the senior class and the last 2 years I got to spend with them. I'm grateful to get to call my teammates family because they really are. Adversity teaches and shows you who you really are. I thank God for teaching me more now than ever before. I'm also learning that life is mostly about how you respond, not what happened. So here's a heck of a year and lots of great memories. Clemson family, we love you. We will be back." And I like that quote he has at the end. Adversity teaches and shows you who you are and tells you who you really are, and you have to respond. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to respond from the Monday night game and Monday night national championship loss. I saw David Hale of ESPN covers the ACC as a college football writer. He went out there and said, "A lot of you guys were annoyed by Dabo playing the underdog card. Well, now Trevor Lawrence next season in 2020 gets to have his redemption tour. After not being a Heisman Trophy finalist, after playing the way he played on Monday night in the loss to LSU, It's going to, if you thought, if you're a South Carolina fan, you're not a fan of Clemson, you're someone who's annoyed by Dabo Swinney and Clemson, who had won, who's won 29 of the last 30 games, talking about they're the underdogs, that they're not appreciated, that they're disrespected. You're going to hate next year when Trevor Lawrence is able to play the redemption card, which I think he is going to be able to. Just think about it. Like, his numbers aren't as good as we thought they were going to be coming in the season. He didn't go to New York as Heisman Trophy finalist. And you look at the other three quarterbacks that were playing in a college football playoff. Jalen Hurts, probably not going to have a great career in a National Football League, but he certainly had a great career in college football, playing at Alabama, winning a national championship, even though Tua Tagovailoa was able to come there in halftime and take over for him in the win against Georgia in overtime. That miracle touchdown pass to Devontae Smith. You saw Jalen Hurts go to Oklahoma this past year, put up monster numbers under Lincoln Riley's system, and be a Heisman Trophy finalist. You also saw Joe Burrow win the Heisman Trophy, likely to be the number one picks, a guy that no one was talking about coming in the season. He won the Heisman Trophy, was there in New York. And then Justin Fields, someone who's, what, 20 miles apart from Trevor Lawrence, a friend from growing up in that part of Georgia, goes to Ohio State after being at Georgia for a season, playing behind Jake Fromm. And that looks like the dumbest decision in the world by Kirby Smart when you look at it now. He goes to Ohio State, puts up huge numbers, only throws one interception throughout the regular season, ends up, of course, throwing two in the semifinal in the Fiesta Bowl against Clemson, but he had a phenomenal season. Trevor looked at all three of those guys and saw them be in the playoffs opposite of him and all be in New York while he was just down in Clemson, or he was also probably making the media rounds as the award season goes on that final week right after the conference championship game, but he was not there for the ultimate prize, and he was not able to have the ultimate prize on Monday night. I think that's going to be motivation for him and just for the team moving forward. Of course, Clemson's going to lose a ton of guys coming up here. T. Higgins declared for the draft yesterday. There's still the questions about what Isaiah Simmons is going to do and Travis Etienne and A.J. Terrell. As far as Simmons, he was all over the field, especially in that first half of the national title game on Monday night. I don't know what he has left to prove as a college player. Go to the NFL, go get your money. You're going to be a first-round pick. I don't see how that's not even possible, especially looking at his versatility. Travis Etienne, I guess scouts have kind of been up and down on him, whether he'd be a first-round, a second-round, or a third-rounder. I think that guy can ball. I think he should go to the draft. A.J. Terrell, certainly as he struggled against Jamar Chase, who actually has another year in college, Jamar Chase does. He's not even draft eligible. That looks like a guy who probably needs to come back to Clemson for one more year and work on his coverage skills, even though not many players in the SEC, let alone at Clemson on Monday night, were able to stay in front of Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, Terrace Marshall, Thaddeus Moss, or any of those receivers that LSU had to offer. All I'm looking at and saying about Trevor Lawrence is I was a tad bit disappointed. I don't know if you can flat out call his season a disappointment considering how well he played for the most part. You just expected a hell of a lot more from him in the first half of the season, and then especially on Monday night in a national championship game where he had to be damn near perfect if Clemson was going to be able to keep up with LSU offensively, considering there wasn't a single defense all year outside of Auburn. And honestly, how good was Auburn's defense to hold LSU to 23 points at home in Death Valley, or at least, well, their Death Valley down there at Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge? That just shows you how good Auburn's defense was. I thought Clemson's defense might have been equipped after what they did against Ohio State, holding an Ohio State team that was number one in scoring offense going into that game, averaging 48 points per game, to below their average, half below their average, at 23 points in that semifinal win in the Fiesta Bowl. I thought Clemson had a chance to stop Joe, or at least contain Joe Burrow and LSU offense. They were not able to do that, and it did not help the fact that Trevor Lawrence was struggling in probably his worst performance as a collegian. And the only other game anyone could probably say he wasn't great in was probably Georgia Tech, dating back to the first game of the season. But considering the expectations and the stage and the opponent, certainly Monday night against LSU left a lot to be desired, but Trevor Lawrence said he's going to come back and he's going to be better than ever, and adversity teaches and shows you who you really are. And I think we're going to see a Trevor Lawrence come back next year on somewhat of a redemption tour as he hopes to get to be a Heisman Trophy finalist and win a national championship, and will likely be his final year. Not likely, will definitely be his final year as a starting quarterback at Clemson. Julian Counts here with you on ESPN Upstate. You can call in at 844-477-3776, or you can text in at 71307. Make sure to use keyword ESPN to get into this conversation. On the other side, LSU might have won a national championship, but a ton of players have left, and also Odell Beckham Jr. has basically stolen all the shine and all the good vibes out of Baton Rouge and the greater Louisiana area. We'll talk about that coming up next. You listen to Julian Council right here on ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Julian Council back here with you on ESPN Upstate. Here's your chance to win some free money, by the way. It's time for our $1,000 free cash stash. The key word is organized. You need to get organized, stay organized, but it is just one word, organized, O-R-G-A-N-I-Z-E. That's organized. Text keyword to 72881. That's 72881. It's organized to 72881. Best of luck for our $1,000 free cash stash right here on ESPN Upstate. You can also follow me on Twitter at Julian Council. That's C-O-U-N. CIL to spell the last name, or call in at 844-477-3776 or text in at 71307. Make sure to use the keyword ESPN so we get your text. So I was talking about it before to start the show. This past season for Trevor Lawrence is somewhat of a disappointment to me, just considering how high the expectations were. And maybe we probably shouldn't have had just absurd expectations considering the fact that he's still, what, only 19 years old coming into the year. He had only been a starter for really 10 games. He got knocked out of the Syracuse game, and Chase Brice had to come out there and play hero. It's just one of those things where, you know, we sit there and we thought that, hey, I mean, this guy looks like he would be the first round pick. It would have been the number one overall pick last spring if he was eligible to come out. There's talks that maybe he should just sit out this whole season entirely, and even next season, just to preserve his draft stock when he finally is eligible in 2021. Like, Trevor Lawrence is good, don't get me wrong, but you saw on Monday night, and at times this season against Georgia Tech, North Carolina game, and going back, of course, against LSU Monday night, like I said, where, yeah, this guy still has some development, and he still has a ways to go before he's really going to be that NFL-ready type of quarterback that a lot of people want to say he is.
When we get to that point where we have players sitting out entire years to preserve draft stock, we've jumped the shark in to the point where performance doesn't matter anymore. It's all about potential. It's all about hype. That's all that is.
Yeah.
You know, and why don't NFL teams want to see more out of these guys? They're comfortable spending a lot of money on just one season or a season and a half worth of film.
That's the funny thing, too, man, because like the NFL draft, I saw Lee Steinberg, who is a longtime NFL agent. He's going to be Tua Tagovailoa's agent. And, of course, there's an injury concern to Tua after having hip surgery and whether he can actually end up going to the NFL and being a franchise quarterback. And Lee Steinberg said that, hey, the NFL draft is a 10-year projection. It's like, okay, that's true, but also doesn't college football matter? After 1 year, Joe Burrow, basically, after one season, and if you look at his last four years, last four games of last year, when he was healthy again, because he was struggling with a shoulder injury that really hampered him in the Alabama game where they didn't score a point at home in Baton Rouge, he was really good. So the last four games of last year, then, of course, these 15 games of this past season where he won the Heisman Trophy, Joe Burrow was really good. But is, like, a 19-game sample size enough to say that he's the number one overall pick?
At least the risk is mitigated enough now by rookie contracts.
Absolutely.
You know, it's we're not going to be in that situation. It was Sam Bradford, who had this just massive rookie deal.
And then Matt Leinart.
Ended up being not that good.
Made $100 million in his NFL career. Ski mask all-star.
He stunk.
He's a hero, honestly. Like, he's a hero for what he did. But yeah,
But NFL teams took a massive risk at the time. They had to pay these massive deals. They don't have to do that anymore.
Oh, no longer. And really, they can cut bait with the first-round pick after four seasons. Because like, with the fifth-year option with first-round quarterbacks, you know, like a guy like Mitch Trubisky. That's one of the things where does college even matter? Everyone now talks about like Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, Mitch Trubisky, how the Bears messed up that pick. And yes, the Bears messed up the pick. But Mahomes is not the guy to bring up. No one thought Patrick Mahomes was going to be the MVP in his first year as a full-time starter in the NFL last season with the Kansas City Chiefs. He was good at Texas Tech, but he was at Texas Tech. How many people actually watched Texas Tech football and even knew who Pat Mahomes was before the whole NFL draft cycle even started? Deshaun Watson was a national champion. He was a Heisman Trophy finalist. Probably should have won the award over Lamar Jackson. That was the dude that should have been the first quarterback taken. But instead, the Bears went off of one season as a starting quarterback for Mitch Trubisky at North Carolina. It was a great season for him. But still, I don't know if that was enough of a sample size to go move up from 3 to 2 to take that guy as your starting quarterback and your franchise quarterback. And now they're in a position this spring where it's going to be like, do we pick up his fifth-year option? Or is this next fall going to be the last year that he's under his rookie deal? That's one of the problems that they're going to face. But with Trevor Lawrence, he's a good player, but not being a Heisman Trophy finalist, playing the way he played on Monday night against LSU, that kind of shows you right there that this is why the NFL wants some of these guys to be around for 3 years after high school instead of playing one season or two seasons and immediately coming out. Like, I think he might be, like, if they want to draft him at 18, that's fine, but, you know, do you really want to throw that guy out there in the NFL at the age of 18? Probably not. He's not physically ready, but he certainly is a good quarterback, and he will absolutely, if he stays healthy and has anywhere near the season that he had this past year and it improves upon and wins another national championship, wins a Heisman Trophy, he'll absolutely be the number one overall pick in the 2021 NFL draft. Okay, so Odell Beckham Jr., I like OBJ personally. Like, I think he's a great athlete. I think he gets somewhat of a bad rap. I know a lot of people were mad at him and a bunch of those Giants players back when he was back in New York for being on a boat before the Green Bay game and then losing the wild card matchup. He's had his weird fights with a practice net, and he had the whole Josh Norman thing that happened where he speared him in the head. Like, OBJ has certainly had his moments, but he's never really had any significant off-the-field issues that would have you all that concerned, I guess, up until maybe now where LSU won a national championship. Odell Beckham Jr. hasn't played at LSU since 2013, but you would have had me confused because the dude was wilding after they won a national championship on Monday night against Clemson. He was in the locker room. Apparently, he was also passing out cash. Joe Burrow was on with Part of My Take with Barstool Big Cat and PFT commenter, some of the post-game celebration where he revealed that apparently OBJ was handing out oodles of cash to LSU players. It will be there. I guess our computer is being slow, but we'll get the audio as soon as we can. But not only has that happened, apparently in the locker room, there's a video that was surfaced, I believe, yesterday that Odell was in there. And there, I guess there's police that were called into the LSU locker room because they were smoking cigars. And I guess that wasn't something that they wanted to happen. Wasn't cool. Wasn't kosher. So New Orleans police came in the locker room and basically started telling all these LSU players that, hey, anyone who is smoking in this locker room is subject to an arrest. Well, OBJ's back there, and he's just kind of like, really, why are you doing this? He goes and gives the officer a nice little love tap on his ass, which, not good. And now, apparently, according to reports, is that there's an arrest warrant out and has been issued for Odell Beckham Jr. for simple battery of an officer. I can't tell whether it's an officer or whether it's just a security guard, but there is a warrant out now for Odell Beckham Jr.'s arrest following the national championship game, where apparently he was handing out cash to LSU players after they won, and he was also out there either talking to a cop or a security guard, but he put his hands on him, nice little love tap on his tushy, and OBJ has now been issued a warrant for his arrest, and this is just the last thing that this guy needed, and the last thing, I guess, probably the Cleveland Browns needed, even though I don't think anyone probably in this audience cares what the Cleveland Browns want. But it's amazing that we're talking about the national championship game and all the good things that come from it for LSU and what they did, and even Clemson. It was a great season, a great run the last two seasons. And now the story is about Odell Beckham Jr., a guy who hasn't played at LSU, hasn't played a snap at LSU since 2013, and who is he's a part of the program, but he's not within the program right now. It's him who's making all the headlines instead of it just being about the players and being about how great of a season that Joe Burrow had and that Joe Brady had, that now has him as the Carolina Panthers offensive coordinator and, of course, Coach O. Here was the audio now of Joe Burrow on with Barstool talking about OBJ in the postgame celebration.
What is your last 12 hours been like?
Well, first of all, there was about 45 minutes of sleep. We got in at like 7:30 last night. I don't know where we went. Don't ask me where we went, because
You went out to bars?
We went somewhere.
Did you not just get mobbed?
I don't know. To be honest.
Did you have a police escort into a bar?
I think we had a little section.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
We went out with, like, all the former players. So that was a lot of fun.
Did Odell give you money?
Yeah, I'm not a student athlete anymore, so I can say yeah.
Yeah, that's sick. How much money? Was he just handing out cash?
Yeah.
I was thinking that it would have been awesome if Odell just like printed fake cash and started handing out just with as the flex.
With his face on it?
Yeah. Like, oh, exactly. Shit. You look at it and you try to pay for a drink. You're like, wait, this is Monopoly money.
Sir, this isn't real money.
It's actually
money.
Worth more in Louisiana.
That's sick that he was just handing out cash. How much cash did he bring?
I don't know.
I love how Joe Burrow is just like, I'm no longer a student athlete, so I can tell you everything about what happened that night. Yeah, we went out. We got wasted. I'm still hungover and possibly drunk while we're having this interview. Oh, and by the way, OBJ handed us just $100 bills.
He should have flat out said, I was the only one he gave it to. I'm not a student athlete anymore. I'm the only one who got cash.
Right, because now LSU has to deal with compliance. Apparently, they're talking to the NCAA.
Now they're going to be pulling security footage at all these bars to see if he gave money to everybody else, anybody who's still on the roster.
Exactly. And probably, no, he's got the police deal with OBJ. So it turned into where it was a two-day celebration. We thought, like, Mardi Gras is not for, like, another couple weeks. Mardi Gras basically started after LSU won the national championship game Monday night in New Orleans. And now it's kind of been on pause, because one of their favorite sons, Odell Beckham Jr., has a simple battery warrant out for his arrest now in New Orleans. And the Cleveland Browns are putting out statements saying we're aware of the incident and have been in touch with Odell and his representatives on the matter. They are cooperating with the proper authorities to appropriately address the situation. Plus, LSU has to deal with NCAA compliance. And you never know how that kind of stuff's going to work in terms of eligibility and all that kind of nonsense. And I'm sure there's a Clemson fan driving around somewhere who has seen the news, either listening to the show, and it's like, there we go. Ineligible, give us a national title game, even though it was after the game, so that would not make any sort of sense at all. But eligibility moving forward until next season, maybe in terms of what's going on there with LSU and with OBJ getting slapping a police officer on his tush and now having a simple battery arrest warrant for him out in New Orleans, which is just another negative headline for a guy that just can't seem to avoid them, even though he really hasn't never done anything all that egregious up until, I guess, now. You should never put your hands on an officer. All right, coming up on the other side, talk more about Clemson and what to think about this team moving forward and just looking back on the college football season as a whole with Eric Macklin, former Clemson offensive lineman, now with the ACC Network as a college football analyst. You're listening to Julian Council right here on ESPN Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Julian Council back here on ESPN Upstate. We are efforting Eric McLean, former Clemson offensive lineman, also now with the ACC Network as a college football analyst. So hopefully we'll be able to get him here on the line. But in the meantime, quick update here on the Odell Beckham story, as apparently he's been handed a simple battery arrest warrant in New Orleans for hitting an officer on the ass, it appears, or on the butt, whatever you want to call it. Looks like it was actually, it's been reported by ESPN as a security guard. So if there's any sort of differentiation there, I guess you'd rather it be a security guard than being an actual police officer, because that would probably cause more drama than there actually would need to be. And still, with this whole thing, I don't know. I feel like obviously OBJ should have kept his hands to himself. But, like, is this really worth the New Orleans Police Department's time and efforts, OBJ, just because this one video came out? And I, like, did the guy complain, the security guard? Like, he shouldn't have done it, but, like, come on. Let's take a step back and just recognize the priorities of this whole situation. But in the meantime, and I'll send Eric a text to see, if he's still ready to go. And if he texts me back, we'll get him on the line. But in the meantime, you were telling me about this. There's these rankings. So every year, obviously, after the national championship game happens, they do like their final season rankings. The AP has their official rankings. And then basically every single publication that covers college football in general goes out there and brings out their rankings. They also have the whole way too early rankings. Although if it's way too early, then why are the rankings coming out? You found out a pair of rankings from USA Today about the top 130 teams.
This is the full USA Today re-ranking. Most polls stick to the top 25 and some others receiving votes category. I don't know how scientific the USA Today re-rank is. Generally, it's pretty in line with most of the other ones in the top 25. The one big difference, and this is coming from the biggest App State homer probably there is, App State's number 12.
That's wild.
So it's a little high. It's a little high. Even I'm like, I don't know about that.
It's funny because, we hadn't had this conversation just finally, yesterday. You're an App State guy, and also the first time we met was yesterday. But, earlier in the year, I was pretty vocal about, App State and just the way that people, especially in North Carolina, perceive them. Like, college football in North Carolina is never going to be on the same level as college football, even here in the state of South Carolina, with a national champion in Clemson, another program in South Carolina where, yeah. They're getting 80,000 people every Saturday, for the most part, down there at Williams-Brice Stadium.
Even when the team's not good.
Even when they're not good. And now you did see attendance dwindle at the end of the year or towards the end of the year when they were losing to App State. Sure. And also people were fed up with everything going on with Will Muschamp and wanting him out, which happens with pretty much any team in the country. But for North Carolina sports, as far as the college football, App State's the best program. And I was pretty vocal being like, okay, if App State's going to be the best program in the state of North Carolina, which hardly happens that the FCS program is the best. Now, Memphis has probably been the best in Tennessee the last couple of years. But if App State's the best program, then I need them to do something more than just going and, talking about how they won Sun Belt title and that they beat Michigan back in 07. Like, you need to beat a Power 5 school. They hadn't done that in 12 years. Now, mind you, they had played, Tennessee back when Tennessee was a top 10 team. They had played Georgia and Penn State a year ago and all those kind of teams. They had pushed them. They had North Carolina and South Carolina this year, and, of course, they beat those two teams. But I was like, if they don't do that, then, don't talk to me about how great this program is when you step out of your weight, a different weight class, and you can't compete. But they did. They won that game. But 12 seems like a lot. Seems pretty high.
Yeah, it's even high for me. Again, I love the press. I'll take it, but I'm still like, 12. I don't know about that. I think in the AP poll, App State came in at 19, and I think, all right, I'm fine with that.
That makes sense.
I'm fine with that. 12.
They went 13-1.
13-1.
So
this
I mean, a 13-1 team. Out of the Sun Belt. Yeah, that should be at least a top 20 team, not top 15.
And looking over this ranking, some of the notables, I don't want to go through the full ranking, but you got LSU number 1, Clemson 2, Georgia number 4, which neither of us can still really figure out why there's so much love for Georgia. I mean, they lost to South Carolina at home. Number 10 is Florida, and South Carolina comes in at number 86 on this list. And I was just kind of going through making some notes. There are 4 SEC teams in the top 10. in this ranking. There are four SEC teams in the bottom half of FBS football, so 65 or lower. Arkansas came in at they were right there at the bottom. Arkansas came in at 121.
There's 130 FBS teams.
Yeah.
And Arkansas is 121st.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned 130 because Clemson has the worst team in college football on their schedule next year out of conference. Looking through their out of conference schedule, they play the number 130 team, which is Akron. They play 125, UConn, 86, South Carolina, and number 16, Notre Dame.
That's just not good.
It's god-awful. Who is doing the scheduling down at Clemson? I know they're big fans of the show down in Tiger Town. Whoever you are, you need to be fired. Who are you scheduling 130, 125 on your out-of-conference schedule? You're good enough to beat anybody. Like, you should crush anybody in the top half.
So
what are you doing?
Typically, the way those things go is the AD, so Dan Radakovich,
yeah,
and the head coach have the most input on when these games are going to be played, with the AD,
sure,
pretty much having the final say. Now, Dabo Swinney came out this year when people were questioning their schedule, and he broke it down for them in terms of how they do the schedule every year. They have 8 ACC games.
Sure.
And then they always play in FCS school from the state of South Carolina. So next year, that's going to be the Citadel. So that's 9 games.
Yep.
They always have to play South Carolina the last game of the year.
Yep.
So that's 10. And then they play one random school, which will be the Akron Zips next year. And then they typically try to play another SEC team or another big-time Power 5 opponent, except for years when they have Notre Dame. Next,
sure,
year they have Notre Dame, so that's why,
yeah,
there's no A&M, no Georgia, no kind of like an Alabama or LSU or a team like that. But still, the Akron Zips, you couldn't find a better – like, if you're Clemson and you want people just to look at you in your strength of schedule differently, obviously the ACC has to be better, which is out of your control. But you can control the teams that you play out of conference.
Sure.
You can't. You play South Carolina every year. Like, that's not a game going away. You can't control the fact that South Carolina has been irrelevant and really can't compete with Clemson right now. Playing an FCS school – whatever, it helps the FCS schools in terms of funding their athletic departments, and it also helps just with this being an in-state school, so I appreciate that with the Citadel. But Akron, that's something,
yeah,
that you can absolutely control.
Well,
you could play, like, go play Memphis or one of the good American teams or something like
I'm
that.
I'm looking at even just the top half of college football. I mean, they should not be playing anybody who's not in the top half of college football.
No.
Outside of South Carolina, because that's who they play every single year. But just looking at this top half, teams that would be fine additions to the Clemson schedule. Nevada, Arkansas State, Tulane, Marshall, UAB, Western Kentucky, Wyoming, Arizona State, Louisiana Tech.
Play App State.
They do. They already have, and they've got them on the future schedule, but it's not for another, like, 8 years.
Keep playing App. I know people are afraid of App State.
Yeah.
They've proven this year that they could beat a Power 5 team. But again, what, South Carolina went, what, 5-7, 4-8? I can't remember.
Right.
And then North Carolina went 6-6.
Play in Indiana. Play Kentucky. Play Washington. Play Cal. Put together some of these really interesting cross-country rivalries and or games, and people will be interested in coming to see them.
And put them on campus,
play
too.
SMU.
Yes. Like, fine. For me, the way I want college football scheduling to be, I want it to be 9 conference games. Now, I get why the ACC and SEC don't go to 9, because what are the only 2 conferences that have made the playoff in the 6 years of its existence? The ACC and SEC.
Yeah. You don't want to change anything.
There's a reason why they make it, because I brought up Ohio State twice yesterday and having this kind of conversation. Ohio State had to play at Iowa, and they had to play at Purdue in the past 2 seasons, who were in the Big Ten West, not in their division, and they lost both of those games. If they had to play both of those games, they would have been in a playoff. Instead, they weren't. They were sitting at home. So that's the way I look at it. Like, I want to have 9 conference games, play an out-of-conference Power 5 team. You can play an FCS, and you can play a Group of 5 team. Just having just symmetrical schedules throughout the ACC, the SEC, Big 10, Pac-12, Big 12. Like, they do that. I like that a hell of a lot more than, of course, going out there and playing what USA Today ranked as the 130th team in the Akron Zips.
But to follow your own logic, Clemson's current scheduling model puts them in the playoff year after year. Why would they change anything?
Oh, they're not going to change it.
They're not going to change it. They don't care that John, driving down the road in his beater Honda Civic, who's a South Carolina fan, is dogging them, saying, you don't play anybody. They don't care about that. They keep getting in the playoff. That's all that matters to them.
And the thing is, too, like, it's not like they're just winning all their games. Like, Notre Dame last year, They go 12-0. They don't play in a conference. And then they get to the playoff and they get smoked by Clemson.
Sure.
Clemson's yet to do that, where they go undefeated and they just get flat out embarrassed. Maybe the game a couple years ago when Kelly Bryant was still the quarterback and he played in New Orleans against Alabama and he just struggled throwing the football. Maybe that was one of the times, with the only time they really had like a no show in the playoff. But I wouldn't even really call that a no show.
But a lot of really good teams struggle throwing the ball against Alabama.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's not. You could say he had an off game, but they were playing elite talent.
Yeah, and it's not even an off game. Like, there's a reason why they went to Trevor Lawrence last year, because Trevor Lawrence is a much better passer. And you saw the quarterbacks in the playoff this past year. You have to have a great quarterback now in college football, and really in football in general, if you're going to find a way to win. No longer can you just lean on your defenses. Like, LSU, Clemson both had good defenses, but they had great quarterbacks, and ended up being the great quarterback play that we saw out of Joe Burrow that helped them win a national championship this year. Getting a text from Eric Maclay, might be able to have him on the other side going up to the top of the hour, but you listen to Julian Council right here on ESPN Upstate. Julian Council back here on ESPN Upstate in until 3 o'clock. Then it's going to be another Diddy takeover from 3 to 7. You can call in at 844-477-3776. You can text me at 71307. Make sure to use the keyword ESPN. And I'm looking at the text line. And I started off the show talking about how I felt like there's a lot to be desired left over from the Trevor Lawrence season this past year in 2020, or 2019 rather, just considering the expectations coming off of his freshman year. He won his he went undefeated last year, took over for Kelly Bryant, won a national championship, was remarkable in the playoff. And people were talking about then, like, hey, if this guy could come out, he'd be the first pick overall in the draft. Should he even go back to Clemson? Should he even go back to college? Well, if he goes back, certainly he's going to go out there and just set, like, every passing record single season-wise in Clemson football history. He's going to win the Heisman Trophy, and Clemson's going to win another national championship. And the only player that could stop him would be Tua Tagovailoa at Alabama. Now, as we know, Tua got injured, and Alabama did not make the playoff. Instead, it was a different SEC quarterback that was the one that stopped Trevor Lawrence and had the historic season, and that was Joe Burrow, who's now expected to be the top pick in the upcoming draft this spring in April. I think Trevor Lawrence had a great season. I just don't think that he had the season that a lot of us expected. Maybe our expectations were completely and entirely out of whack for a 19-year-old kid playing quarterback in college football. You saw this year he had more interceptions of 8, still threw more touchdowns, had a similar completion percentage from last year with 65%. His passer rating actually went up a few points, but it wasn't as overwhelmingly dominant as we thought it would be. And given that fact, I was somewhat let down from what I saw from Trevor Lawrence this year, especially on Monday night against LSU, where he was wildly inaccurate, something we've never seen him play, and he looked like he got rattled. A guy who hasn't been rattled probably since what, his sophomore year in high school, whenever the last time he lost until Monday night. He was not as good as a lot of people, at least for me, as much as I thought he was going to be coming up this season. And I see a texter saying, tweeting at us at, or texting at us at 71307, keyword ESPN, saying, "You clowns on the radio will pump Trevor Lawrence's number next year like he's some godlike quarterback," when I literally started out the show and Justin said there that I was a little disappointed when I saw from Trevor Lawrence. But I don't know. I don't know. Diesel.
People hear what they want. This guy driving down the road, he's just got it in for Clemson. He's got that. He's waiting for you to say something good, anything good. And then he hears something. You're not even saying good things about Clemson. You're saying that he was disappointing. Well, how come you're talking about him then? It's just like, dude.
And the thing is,
dude,
like, it's not like I'm
back
saying
off. Understand the context. Read the room.
Right. And it's also like, I'm not flat out just like banging on being like, yo, this guy was trash this year. I was like, he was really good. But like, his numbers did not improve the way that we thought. Like, considering our expectations, which were sky high and probably unreasonable, which, like I've said, but like the expectations up here, he was just a little bit below them, just a tad bit. Especially when it comes to the Heisman Trophy, which is an individual award that he's probably not all that hung up on, and neither is the team or Dabo Swinney. But the national championship, that's something that they wanted to win, and that they probably thought they were going to win, even though they were a 6-point underdog in Vegas, and he just played really bad on Monday night.
And regarding whether or not we'll talk, you know, we'll say great things about him next year, of course we're going to say great things about him next year. He's going to be one of the top two or three quarterbacks in college football easily. What do people want us to do? Okay, do they want us to say, okay, he's not going to be that good. Clemson, they might fall back a little bit. Alabama, they're not going to be that good either. college football is just not that good. Is that what people want? Do they want us to pretend like everything's going to be in the middle, or does this guy want us to you know, make things up about how good and how improved South Carolina is going to be? Because that's what we did this year. We did that preseason 2019, and look what happened.
No, we didn't do that. Will Muschamp did that. Will Muschamp.
But see, everybody bought into it. Exactly. Everybody wearing garnet-colored glasses bought into it. They're like, yeah, we got the toughest schedule in America. Yeah, we're still going to win 8 games. Those two things don't typically add up. When you got the toughest schedule in America and you're playing in the SEC and you're probably not going to be that good, somehow people just got it in their heads, oh, my God, we're going to win 8 games, even with the hardest schedule in America. And you bought into it hook, line, and sinker. You're the one who ought to be feeling pretty dumb about that.
Exactly. And Will Muschamp went out there and said this is the best team that he's ever had at South Carolina. And they subsequently went 4-8. And also, it would be more clown behavior on the radio if you were going out there and trashing Trevor Lawrence like this guy apparently wants us to do after he had a great season. And Clemson went undefeated up until losing in a national championship game. A 14-1 season. Pretty good.
Little programming note, it's actually not going to be a Denny takeover. Mark Ryan is back.
Oh, Mark Ryan is back.
Yeah, I almost forgot what he looked like. He poked his head in here. I was like, who is that? Who is that poking their head in here? It is Mark Ryan. He didn't have a White Claw in hand, so I didn't really recognize him.
Oh, well, hey, he's a White Claw guy?
Yeah.
Hey, Black Cherries. But moving, we'll get into that conversation. I'm sure people just drove off the road just hearing me say that. Also, programming note, coming up next, we're going to have Eric McLean, former Clemson offensive lineman, now with the ACC Network as a college football analyst. We'll get his thoughts on the Clemson season, what to expect in 2020, and just college football as a whole. You're listening to Julian Council right here on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.